I thank God to give me the opportunity to speak to you again. I remember about 3 years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, I spoke here with you, brothers and sisters. But today's message, based on the scripture, there are two places in the scripture. One is Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. I'm sorry, because traveling I didn't bring the English Version Bible. So you can read from any time from your own Bible. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. The second place is from John chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. These two places both describe a place that's near Jerusalem. There was a town called Bethany. You know, the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains or hills. Zion is one of them. Mount Moriah also one of them. And there is a mount, actually it's a high hill called Mount Olive. It's located at east or northeast of Jerusalem. Our Lord Jesus, after he was risen from the dead, he was taken up to heaven from Mount Olive. And angels told those they saw Jesus going up to heaven. The angel told those disciples, said, "How the Lord you saw going up to heaven, one day he will come down again." So we all believe one day our Lord will come down at Mount Olive. But say it more clearly, we in the church, as a Christian, we won't see that scene. When the Lord coming down at Mount Olive, this is the last day. He will deliver Israel from their trouble. He will destroy the enemies. But we as a Christian, we at that time were already been raptured. You understand? We'll meet the Lord in the air, not on Mount Olive. But this promise will be happen to those people of Israel. And that Mount Olive has a very significant place in the Bible. According to the fact, the Mount Olive has at least two slopes. One is facing the Jerusalem. So they say that that area supposed to be dwell or used by rich people. So the garden, there are gardens. One of the gardens Jesus used is Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, the night before he was crucified on the cross. There were gardens. They were dwelling with some rich families. But across the Mount Olive, over the other side, that area usually recognized as poorer area because it's a distance away from the city of Jerusalem. So Bethany is located on the other side of Mount Olive. But it is very significant to us and to our Lord because the Bible tells us that when Jesus visited Jerusalem at the last several days, he went up to Jerusalem, cleaned up the temple, but every evening he left the city and dwelt at Mount Olive. And many Bible study scholars believe that Jesus, when he went out of the city of Jerusalem, he dwelt in Bethany. Because that town was located at the side of Mount Olive. And also, one morning, when Jesus went back to Jerusalem, he was hungry. At that time, Bethany, he saw a fig tree. And he went up there and couldn't find a fruit. You remember that story? So we believe that Jesus stayed at the town of Bethany. And in Bethany, there is a family. This family has two sisters and one brother. So we used to call that family the home at Bethany. At Luke chapter 10, when Jesus coming down from Galilee to Jerusalem, he stopped at the town Bethany. And at that place, there was a sister, a lady called Martha. He received Jesus into her home. It is very significant. Please pay attention. We usually neglect the person, Martha. In that family, there are three persons or three different characters. It describes the home, the place Jesus liked to dwell. There's a place, resting place for the Lord. He couldn't find a resting place in that big city, Jerusalem. There was a big temple, splendid, glorious, but there's no room for Jesus. There were many families, many big houses in Jerusalem. But Jesus couldn't find a place for resting. Every evening, he has to go out to the town of Bethany. And there was a family, a home for our dear Lord to have a rest. That home consists of three persons Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And that sister Martha, he first received Jesus. Do not just roughly pass over these words. You understand, Jesus was not traveling alone. Our Lord at least has 12 disciples traveling with him. And the scripture also tells that there were few sisters. Maybe it might be Jesus' mother and Jesus' aunt and other, Mary, Magdalene. So there were few sisters also traveling with Jesus. And when Martha received Jesus, I wonder, he just picked up Jesus alone. Those people, you accompany Jesus, please, you find your own place for rest. And I can only receive Jesus. I don't know. The scripture didn't say anything. So, it very possibly, he has to receive all these people accompanying Jesus. So it is really a difficult thing for a family not that rich, not that they have a very big house, to receive so many people and provide them meals, lodging, and everything. So as a result, Martha was so busy with so many things. But my point is, we have to respect this kind of person. If in Vancouver, in the Christian Assembly, there were no person to prepare a room for our Lord, how can we meet here? Right? You come in, you find a seat already and very clean. You can just sit down. You don't have to worry. If I sit down, oh, the cushion filled with filthy things. We'll make the clothes dirty. You don't have to worry about. There were people to clean up. There were people to arrange it. There were people provided for a meeting place for our Lord. To preach gospel, to edify in saints, to have fellowship each other, to have a love seat, a love feast here. There must be someone to prepare, to busy, to do such kind of thing. This is Martha. So oftentimes we neglect it. We don't need Martha. Martha's wrong. He's so worried about so many things. Jesus said, you worry about many things, but only one thing is needed. It is true. Jesus did say about that. But we, especially if you have Chinese Bible, take care. Don't mix up when you read Chinese Bible. Chinese Bible has something give us a mistake. Because, you know, in the Bible, there are chapters and verses. But in the original text, there were none. Just right all the way down. No different verses. No different chapters. It was done about 600 years ago. One bishop in the Catholic Church, he has a burden to divide the Bible according to chapter, according to verses. So it is much helpful for us to study according to chapter and verses. Really, maybe 70 or 80% of the division is good, but not all. So in the Chinese Bible, there's something mixed up. He combined the only one thing is needed together with Mary. She has chosen the better portion. Become one verse. Actually, not. When you read English Bible, in many English versions, you will understand this sentence. Only one thing is needed. It's a contrast to the sentence before it. You worry about many things, but one thing is needed. On one side is many things. On the other side, only one thing. We have to find out the meaning. Why Jesus says only one thing is needed. You do have many things. And suppose, for example, in the church, you have people to clean up the meeting hall. You need people to become an usher. You need people to do all kinds of other things. Prepare for the meeting. But Jesus says, only one thing is needed. That means, among all these things, you must have one thing. Even you preach, you stand on here to preach, you must have one thing. Same as the one clean up the meeting hall. He or she, one thing is needed. To have Lord Jesus in your service. Actually, in this universe, one thing is important. One thing will last forever. One thing is focused by our God Himself. That is His Son, Jesus Christ. If you do not have Jesus Christ, you have nothing. You can have money, but money will gone. If you have big house, the house will pass away. Everything on the church, you have all kind of things, and also used by the Lord, by God, for His own purposes. But only one thing will last forever. When you serve the Lord, you need only one thing. You have to keep in mind, no matter how you serve the Lord, do a little things or do so many things, inside of all these things, only one thing is needed. You must have that. You can preach gospel, make 100,000 people to believe the Lord. if you do not have the Lord Himself, you cannot get reward from the Lord. You make your own self to be famous, to be a great person. You lifted up yourself. One day, before the Lord, Lord will tell you, you are unrighteous, unlawful person. People say, I preach, I do miracles in your name. I cast out demons in your name. The demon did cast out. But the Lord said, you unlawful person. You did not do according to His will. So when we serve the Lord, that's one thing is needed. If you have that in your heart, you focus on the Lord, you can do it well or you can do it not that well. That means you look from outside, outwardly. Some people can preach so beautifully with good language, with fluent tongue, but if there is no Christ Jesus in the message, it's nothing. So the Bible also tells, you can prophesy, you can do miracles, you can do all kind of things. If there's no love, there's nothing. Right? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's another place describing. You can do all these things. If you do not have love, it's nothing. Nothing before God. So that's the real meaning the Lord is saying to Martha. But the church needs Martha. Even if your family, in your home, you need Martha. You need somebody ready to receive Jesus Christ into your home. Let Jesus Christ have a place in your home, in the meeting, in your fellowship. But you need only one thing. That's most important. Besides whatever you do for the Lord, you need Himself. And the second person, of course, it is Mary. I do not agree that we try not to do anything like Martha. We all be like Mary. Because everybody is sitting at Jesus' feet and nobody prepare the meeting for the Lord. That's impossible. Impossible. But I do believe the Lord has a purpose to describe it in the Bible, to tell us the way we should serve Him. There should be Martha in the church, and there should be Mary also in the church. In every one of us, we need to serve the Lord in different places, different ways. When you meet people, you can say, this is other people's service. I won't serve anyone. I just want to sit at the feet of the Lord. I don't want to visit any brothers and sisters. I just like to sit before the Lord. No, you have to do something as Martha but also we. In the same person, we have to learn to do like Mary. It is the Mary Jesus praised. He was sitting at the feet, at Jesus' feet. How can anyone sitting at Jesus' feet? She or he must be close to Jesus. Right? You must be close to Jesus. Draw near to him. In your daily life, do you have a few minutes? You really draw near to the Lord. Today's world is so busy. Everything do it fast. On computer, you can finish a thing in a few minutes. Everything is changing rapidly. People want to finish up something just in a short interval. But you have to take the time out to be near the Lord. Jesus has done whatever he has to do. He is in at the throne of God, but he sent down his Holy Spirit, and he himself is in that Spirit to dwell in you and in me, in our spirit. Lord Jesus has done all what he can to be nearest to you. Wherever you go, wherever you be, he is with you. I will be with you to the end of the age. People, they didn't know, didn't see me, but you will see me, because I will be in you and you will be in me. It is the most closest situation, condition. But unfortunately, I tell you, it's a fact. We are not talking about the theory, theological principle. How many times, how many minutes you are really close to Jesus yourself? You do all these things with your own mind, your own will, own desire. You very few minutes time you talk with Jesus. You ask him, just like David said, all the days of my life I like to abide in the temple, to live in the temple. For what? To behold his beauty, to inquire at his temple. When you do all these things, even you serve the Lord, did you inquire before the Lord, how can I serve? How will I do it? How will I study my lesson? How will I do my job? Lord, be with me. I will follow you. I will be with you. Try in the morning, in the daytime, in the evening, try to find a time to sit at Lord's feet. sit at Lord's feet means you respect Lord. Right? You sit at one's feet, that means you respect him. You respect her. Oftentimes it's baby, it's a little boy or girl, they sit at their parents' feet. So Jesus says, who is entering the kingdom of God? You have changed to be a little child. Even you have knowledge, you are PhD, you are master degree, you have, but you have turned to be a little child before the Lord. You are so skillful in your business. When you come to the Lord, I'm nothing. To compare with you, the Lord of universe, I'm nothing. Lord, I like to learn from you. Tell me how to do. Tell me how to live my life, to do my job, to do my run my business. Oh, when you sit at his feet, it is such an enjoyment. You feel his glory, his peace, the joy from heaven will fill in your heart. So it is the desire of David. Hopefully will be our desire to sit at the Lord's feet. And it is she, that person, Mary, she understands what Jesus is going to do. Even Jesus' disciples, they didn't know Jesus was going to the cross to be crucified. They didn't understand. Whenever Jesus mentioned about that, they don't understand. They didn't understand. And even sometimes Peter wants to interrupt it. They have their own mind. They live in their own mind. Only Mary, when she sits at Jesus' feet, respect Jesus, listen to Jesus. So many times when we pray, it is good prayer. We need to pray often. But so many times when we pray, it is just we are speaking to the Lord. Just as a one-way street. Our prayer is a one-way street. The traffic, one-way traffic, going to the Lord. Lord, please do this. Lord, please do that for me. Lord, please bless this, bless that. Not really have a time to listen to the Lord. We need to have prayer to give the Lord what we desire, what we need. We really need our prayer, but we also need to listen to the Lord. After we pray to the Lord, don't come up right away. Listen. David has had that experience. After Psalm 28, right at verse 1 or 2, he said, Lord, if you keep quiet, not saying anything to me, I will be like a person going down to the pit. I will be like a dying person, no strength, not able to do anything. If you speak to me, your word is my energy. Your word support me. Your word guide me. Your word is my light. You understand? So there are both ways, two-way traffic between David and the Lord. We have to learn that. Mary has a two-way traffic. Definitely he has something to pray. He asked the Lord to do. He needs the Lord to help. But on one side, he listened to the Lord. He understands what the Lord is going to do. That is the reason about some days later when I can say that about a week before Jesus going to the cross, there was a feast at Bethany, and Jesus was sitting at a table, and there was one lady, that is the Mary of Bethany. He brought a bottle of very precious perfume, broken the vessel, poured the ointment on Jesus' feet. And what Jesus said, leave her alone. Don't say this or that. She is doing this for my burial. You see, only Mary understand Jesus is going to die. So Jesus tells us that wherever there's a place to preach gospel, I have to mention about this one, Mary, what Mary has done for me. Of course, that involves something else. The offering of such a precious thing. Mary is not a rich lady. So people recognize that perfume costs about how many silver? About whole year's salary. He offered it up to Jesus. This is to be remembered all the days. Whenever church on the earth preaching gospel, have to mention about Mary, what she has done for the Lord. My point today is Mary understands Jesus' mind. What the Lord wants to do. Oftentimes I was asked how to understand, to know about God's will. There's a question still is pending there. After another about 3 or 4 weeks, when I'm going back to L.A., I have to answer. People ask me, that Sunday when you will be in our midst, please tell us how to understand God's will. People want to know, what is God's will? I want to please God, but what is the will of God? Dear brother and sister, Mary understand. You have to be like Mary. One young brother asked me, now dating this another sister, I don't know if it is the will of the Lord or not. What I told him, I said, it's too late for you to ask. You have to learn something first, then you will understand what the will of the Lord. If every day you sat at the feet of the Lord, you learn to be have intimate fellowship with the Lord, then you can ask, if I date this sister, if she is the one you provide for me, the Lord will tell you. If you are not sitting always at the Lord's feet, you don't understand the Lord's will, and just ask, no, you will understand. It's difficult. So we have to learn. To learn. To close to the Lord. To have fellowship with Him. He will guide you all your life. He will be with you wherever you go. It is a blessing. Finally, the third person is Lazarus. It is, strangely speaking, in every place there are more sisters than brothers. Always, the ratio is 2-to-1. In our LA, we also have many sisters, but not many brothers. In that home at Bethany, there are two sisters, Martha and Mary, but only one brother, Lazarus. But Lazarus also has his unique character or testimony. There are three different unique experiences. We, in every one of us, we must learn to have these three different aspects of experience with the Lord. Lazarus' testimony is risen from the dead. So in John chapter 12, those Jews, they came to look at Lazarus, and going back, they believed the Lord Jesus. Because this is a living testimony. How can one be risen from the dead? It is a true, it is undeniable miracle. But people will say, this kind of testimony, I'm not able to deliver. Nobody among us has risen from the dead. But spiritually speaking, every one of us should have that testimony. You understand? You remember? Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, we were dead when we were non-believers. Before the eyes of God, everyone on the earth are dead person. We do according to the will of demons. We are dead in sins and in trespassing. Then the Lord had mercy on us. He loved us and He raised us up to be alive with Jesus Christ. This is what Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. Everyone, when you're born again to be a Christian, you are risen from the dead. And also, it is true, many Christians, they can testify, before I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I gambled, I drank, I did all these kind of things. Now, He, my Savior, deliver me from all these things. I changed. My life changed. Maybe you were born in a Christian family, not much difference between you accept Jesus as a savior. That's not much significant difference. But anyhow, you were born again. When I believe, when people talk with you, want to accept you to be baptized here, they want to know, are you really believe in Jesus? What difference you are now and before? They want to know not just what you verbally say, I believe, I memorize the verses. They want to know you have something different. That proves that you have the resurrection life in your heart, in your spirit. That's a proof of born again, rebirth. So, Lazarus' testimony is all our testimony. A church cannot have good testimony if brother, sister just listen to the message, didn't have any change in your life. Before you've been a Christian and after you've been a Christian, there's no difference at all. Now, if so, this church has no testimony. You understand? So there's one brother caused us some problem. When we give the message, Christ is our life. And in the small group fellowship, one brother said, seems we don't need Christ as our life. I raise up early morning, I do all the things, the household job, and I go out to do my business and coming back. He is a good person, and he is a PhD. And he helped his wife. His wife didn't know how to handle it. And he has three children. He have to raise up children, do this, and cooking. I do not need Christ as my life. The brothers told me they didn't know how to answer it. You understand? Some, you really don't need Christ to be your life. You are a good person. You do not sing and this and that. And after you've been a Christian, the same way you are living. So the Lord, they need the Lord to lead you, to guide you into a situation you need the Lord. You need the Lord to help you. You need the Lord to keep you. You need the Lord to guide you. And then you will have a change. Oh, I thank the Lord. If not because of the Lord, I don't know how to do that. I really receive help from the Lord. This is a testimony. A testimony of new life. A testimony of born again. May the Lord help us. What he has done on Lazarus, he will do upon all of us. And this is what he needs. There is a place, there are persons, a Christian, they have the service, they have the fellowship with the Lord, and they have the testimony. This is the home Jesus like to stay with you, to have a resting place of himself. And he will be glorified among you. May we all be blessed this way. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, once again we present ourselves into your presence, that you may bless us with your word, your guidance, your Holy Spirit, to lead us in our daily life, to teach us how to follow you, and give us the experience of your new life which is abiding in us. O Lord, may you be glorified among us. May you be lifted up among us. People see us. They can say, the Lord is with us. May you bless us this way. In your precious name we pray. Amen.